just the first verse, quoted the 16th verse of the third chapter of the book of John, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." And undoubtedly, that is one of the best loved verses and the most quoted verses in all the Bible. It's been called the gospel in a nutshell. It's been called the golden text of the Bible. Probably one of the first verses that you might have memorized when you were growing up. It really reveals the heart of God. For God so loved the world. God the Father so loved you and me that He gave His only begotten Son. And the first part says that very thing. For God so loved the world. I thought that He's actually saying God loved mankind, God loved the world so much that His love reaches out to everyone, everywhere, of all ages. Well, everyone. And I'm going to pause right here to say, thank God that includes me. I'm a nobody from nowhere, but His love reached out and included me. Thank God. The chorus that the children used to sing, and we sang it when I was growing up. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. I want to add something. Not only does He love the children, He loves the parents. And He loves their grandparents. Aren't you glad? Thank God, thank God. When Paul was writing to a young friend of his by the name of Timothy, and he's speaking of God, he said these words, "Who will have all men to come to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." And let me say it again. That He will have, this is what God was saying, "Who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth." That all men, everywhere, everyone can come and be saved. That's His desire. Brother Lou, your testimony. Your children that will be with you after a while at lunchtime celebrating Christmas. Your prayer is, your request is that something about your gathering together will cause them to realize that Jesus is the answer. That He's what life is all about. And I pray when you bow your head in prayer, giving thanks for the noon meal or whenever you eat together, as you bow your head to pray, I pray that at the very moment the Spirit of the Lord will knock at their heart's door, because it is God's will for your children and grandchildren to be saved. Come to the knowledge of the truth. And the Bible says, because He loved us so much that He gave His only begotten Son. Now, I've often said these words, that love is more than words. Love is action. How many guys have said to that young lady they just met 15 minutes ago, "Man, I love you with all of my heart," and forgot their name the next day? Thank God for His love toward us. Then the Bible said, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." And so this morning, the one thing that I want to bring to our attention is that part that God gave His Son, and I want to use as a thought for the next few moments, not very long, but next few moments. God is a giving God. I want that to be in the back of your mind and maybe even in the forefront of your mind. God is a giving God. Seems as if God has always got His hands out to give. And I started in the first two chapters of the Bible. And I'm going to run through some things in the Bible. In the first two chapters of the Bible, I find that God has created Adam and Eve, and then the Bible says God has planted a garden, Eastward in Eden, and it's called the Garden of Eden, called Paradise. And this is the part that I want you to see. God gave the garden, Paradise, to Adam and Eve as they started out on their journey of life together. He gave them a home. Paradise, the Garden of Eden. He gave it to them, debt-free. No mortgage payment. They started out their lives together with a home given to them by Almighty God. That's tremendous. I read on in when I came to the 28th chapter of the book of Genesis, I found that Jacob was ready to leave home, and he was going to visit his uncle Laban in Syria. And just before he left, his father Isaac said these words, "God Almighty bless thee, and make thee fruitful, and multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people, and give thee the blessing of Abraham to thee and to thy seed with thee, that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger." Listen to these words, "which God gave unto Abraham." I read the first two chapters of Genesis, and God gave the Garden of Eden to Adam and Eve. And now He's expanded it. He's given the land of Canaan to Abraham and his seed. He gave it to him. That's Exodus chapter number 12. One of the great chapters of the Bible, when God gave deliverance to the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. They were tortured and beaten and all the rest, and God gave deliverance. Don't you know that was a high day in their lives? They came up out of Egypt on their way to a promised land that God had said would be given to them. I believe it's one of the most outstanding stories in all the Bible, how that God gave deliverance. And then the 20th chapter of Exodus, God called Moses to the top of Mount Sinai, and God gave him the Ten Commandments. God wrote them with His own finger and gave the commandments to Moses to give to the people. Now I want to make a statement. I hope you'll remember this. The commandments were not given as a burden. The commandments were given to be blessings and benefits. I promise you, if you'll keep the commandments of God, there'll be blessings that you've never realized. Benefits beyond measure. And His commandments are not grievous, the Bible says. Really meaning that when you're saved and set out to God, it's easy to keep the commandments. He gave them for our benefit, that we might be blessed. And then I was reading through the Bible during the Israel's 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. How God kept on giving. He gave them manna from heaven and water from a rock to sustain them. He gave them a pillar of a cloud in the daytime and a pillar of fire by night to give them direction. And remember this, He gave them everything they needed in the wilderness for 40 years. I've never lived in the wilderness. I've never been poor. If we were poor during the Depression, they didn't tell me, so I didn't know it. We always had plenty. But I want you to see 3 million people in a wilderness. God gave them food every day, water to drink, and met every need of their lives for 40 years. He's a great big God. Thank God. He's a giving God. When the children of Israel came over into the promised land and the enemies came against them, the Bible says God raised up judges and gave them judges to lead them to victory. And when the judges no longer were there to take care, they decided we wanted a king. We want a king. They decided they didn't want judges. They want a king to be like everyone else. And God gave them so. God's giving. When Saul disobeyed God, God gave to the nation of Israel David, a man after His own heart. I've told you this before. I have mentioned it several times. And it's been real this week in my life. I was sitting right over there praying one or two of the mornings of this week. My prayer has been for the last several years, God, if the Lord is going to tarry, please give us the church, the man or the woman that You would have to lead the church. I was praying right over there and crying, and I cannot tell you that God spoke to my heart and told me that He's working it all out and it'll take place this week, this month. But I really believe this without Him saying that. I believe He's working everything out. Brother Lou, maybe He's coming. Maybe He's coming. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But the Bible says that God gave the children of Israel judges, and they gave them David. Saul gave them David to be the king. And then also Isaiah said, when the enemy shall come against you like a flood, our God will raise up a standard against him. I want you to know, God will always have someone there. God will be there Himself to bless and to minister. He's never caught off guard. He's there to go with us. God gave David's son Solomon wisdom, understanding exceeding much. When the king Hezekiah was on his deathbed, the Bible said he turned his face to the wall and prayed and said, God, I've tried to serve you. I've lived for you. I've tried to be obedient, and could you just let me live a little bit longer? Isaiah had already been in to tell him that he's going to die. Get everything ready. And as Isaiah's leaving the palace, going across the courtyard, God spoke to him and said, Isaiah, go back. Go back and tell Hezekiah, the king, I've heard his prayer. I'm going to give him 15 more years to live. God gave Hezekiah 15 more years. He's a giving God. I've read the Bible through. Many of you have as well, no doubt. And I found that, in my thinking, Job has suffered possibly more than anybody else in the Bible. He lost everything. He lost his oxen, his asses, his sheep, his camels, his sons, his daughters, his servant, and he lost his health. And I can try to picture him in my mind today. A man that had a great man, the greatest man of the East in his day, wealthy. And in one day's time, he loses all of his cattle and his herds and his camels, and his sons, and his daughters, his servants, and he's smitten with boils, covered from head to foot. And I've tried to visualize it. The Bible says he was sitting on the ash heap, scraping the corruption from his body. Sometimes we feel like we've gone through more than we can hardly take. Trouble comes and sickness comes and difficulties come. But I thought of Job. And yet with all of that, he didn't sin. With all of that, he didn't question God about God being good. He might have asked God why, but he didn't put anything off on God. And I've read the last chapter of the book of Job. Let me tell you something. The Bible says in the very last chapter, the 42nd chapter of the book of Job, that there came a time when God restored and gave him, the Bible says, twice as much as he had before, and gave him sons and daughters and blessed him abundantly. Twice God gave him twice as much as he had in the beginning. Mark this down. God is a giving God. What a Savior. God gave Isaiah the glimpse of the glory world. He said, and I saw, in the year the king Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his throne, that filled the very essence of the presence of God. And he said, I heard angelic beasts crying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. I believe today, if we could get a glimpse of heaven, it would be holy, holy, holy. And the list goes on. He gave sight to the blind. He gave strength to the weak. He gave hope to the hopeless. He gave life to some that had died. And he gave new life to those that were dead in trespasses and sins. And I thought, this morning, he's given good marriages, good families, a good church, good friends, a good life, bountiful blessings. On my wife's birthday, or Christmas time, or anniversary, I try to get a card that says something that stands out, but most of the time it never says what I want to say. So I write in the card, and when I read it, it doesn't say all I wanted to say. But I wrote in a card that I gave her this morning, I thank God for an October night in 1952 that I went with my brother to the church for choir rehearsal and met my wife. I don't know how she felt the first time she saw me. I don't know if you've ever told me that, honey. And I did not, like you've said, you've heard people say, well, she's going to be my wife. Well, I didn't say that. But I did ask her to go with me. And so that turned into her being my wife. And that's been almost 58 years ago. And I was trying to write some things in the card. And I said, honey, it's been a wonderful journey. And I say today to God, with the Son, this has been a wonderful journey. I wouldn't go back to where I was for everything in this world. I've got more today. I have Christ in my heart. I have joy in my heart. I have the peace of God in my life. There's nothing in the world that can compare with it. He's a giving God. He's given to me and my wife and our family and to the church over and over again. I can't even begin hardly to tell you how wonderful He's been. I remember the very first sermon I preached in a little scout house. I remember the second Sunday when a lady that was a military man's wife from Ohio came to the service, and when I gave the altar call, second Sunday of our ministry, she got saved. And today, her husband, her family, and two of her sons are preachers. The next Sunday, I remember another lady getting saved. And I thought, man, this is wonderful. This keeps up. We'll have a church built and I'll move on somewhere else. But then we went for a long dry spell. Maybe the Lord saved those two right in the beginning to encourage us. But I'm glad God's a giving God. And I thank Him for a wonderful companion and a family and a church. And I love every one of you, and I thank God for you and all that He's done for every one of us. And when Paul was trying to write about this gift that God has given of His only Son, only begotten Son, a gift like none other, the greatest gift in all the world, the Apostle Paul was lost for words, and he said, "He's an unspeakable gift. My vocabulary is limited. I do not have enough words to tell you how wonderful He is." Then I would like to wind down. Some think about it, some 6,000 years ago, at the dawning of human history, God gave paradise to Adam and Eve. Then some 2,000 years later, God gave Canaan land to Abraham and his seed, and remember this, as an everlasting inheritance. Forever. And then 2,000 years later, God gave His Son to die on the cross of Calvary as a sacrifice for you and me. And I've said this often, and on this Christmas morning, it means so much. I believe it with everything within me. If I was the only person in the world, unsaved, everyone else was ready for heaven, but me, I believe Jesus would have died for me. He loved me that much. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He's a giving God. A giving God. The Bible tells me when He came into this earth, the people didn't want Him. They turned their backs on Him. Later on, they said, "Crucify Him." He came to save and to redeem, and they didn't want Him. And this doesn't sound too nice, but it's the same way today. Millions of people don't want Him. They don't want Him. But one of the best verses in the Bible, honey, come on to the piano. One of the best verses in the Bible is found in the first chapter of the book of John. They didn't want Him. They didn't care. God, He might be your only begotten Son, but we don't want Him. And they turned their backs on Him. But listen to this verse.
But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Did you find God giving in that verse? But to as many as received him, to them gave he power. God gave you and me power to receive Jesus. We couldn't do it on our own. God gave us power to become the sons of God, the daughters of God. That's a tremendous verse. On Christmas morning, Christmas Day, you know what? I can't think of anything that I would rather see or experience than someone say, "Brother Jones, I'm not ready for heaven, but I want to be. And I'd like to give my heart to God on Christmas morning." Wouldn't that be something? You talk about something that would thrill the heart of the Lord if someone this morning would say, "Jesus, I've sinned against you, but I invite you to come into my life." Christmas Day. We're going to sing. But please remember this. God gives and gives and gives and gives. I wrote something down and it's just come to my mind. He's asked so little of us, and yet He gives so much. He's asked so little. What have I given God? I gave Him my life, but who am I? I'm a nobody. I try to give Him my talents, but they're so limited. What are they? He has asked so little of me, and yet He has given so much. We're going to sing the course. What number was it, honey?